Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Welcome into the Lotus Place tonight on this lovely Wednesday evening, the last Wednesday of 2016 and the last airing of the Lotus Place Radio for the year on Black Talk Radio Network. And we look forward to another beautiful, beautiful year here at Black Talk Radio Network. And we want to welcome you into the Lotus Place tonight. Welcome in, Featherlight. What's up, Scotty, if you're listening, and all of our listeners. Everyone out there doing great. I think there's a little static coming from your mic there. Hearing a little something going on. Yeah, I think I hear a little something on. Yeah, a little something going on with your mic. Something going on. But welcome in, everybody. We'll let Featherlight get her mic together there. It is Wednesday. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. Now, this is one of my favorite times of the year, going into the new year, because I just always love progression. And to me, that's progression. If, like they say, if God willing, if the creek don't rise and I can make it to January 1st, at least a minute after, well, I made it another year. But speaking of which, and we are going to touch on some of our lyrical angels. Well, one of our special lyrical angels that we lost this year, which is Prince. Everybody know I love Prince. And also George Michael passed this week. George Michael passed. And then just as I was logging on, I saw that the lady Debbie Reynolds passed, and her daughter Carrie Fisher, who had played Princess Leia in Star Wars, she passed. And so the mother apparently said that she wanted to go and be with her daughter, and she selected to make the transition. So she passed today. Just saw that. So
they must have been very, very close.
They must have been. Mm-hmm. And I think that people can be very spiritually close like that, because there have been stories of like spouses, like one of them passed and then the next day or at the funeral or after the funeral or something like that, then the other spouse passed, or before the funeral. The spouse will pass. And yeah. I think, yes, people can be very, very close, and they come here with the decision to be together, work together, or work on the mission together, and mm-hmm. when it's time for them to check out, they decide, hey, let's check out. I believe a lot of people have control of when they want to make the transition, when they're ready to leave.
I do too.
It's like when people stay alive in the hospital until the son get there, or the daughter get there, or whoever gets there. Then it's like, okay, I can pass now. I can pass.
Yes, mm-hmm. I'm ready now.
I'm ready. I do believe that. I totally do. Tonight we're going to talk about pick up on our abuse series. Friendship abuse is what we're picking up on tonight, what we'll discuss tonight. Previously, if you've listened to any of the podcasts, we discussed elderly abuse. So this is part two of our abuse series, and we are going to talk about friendship abuse. I know I've been in abusive friendships. I had abusive friendships, and I don't know, I maybe have even been abusive also to people in a friendship way. And in fact, I'm sure I have. But we want to learn and grow from that. If you are in that situation, or maybe you are a friend bully, maybe you bully a friend and don't even know it. So we want to talk about that and point some of these characteristics out in a friendship. And also in researching this topic, we just don't have enough time for me to go into it, but maybe we can pick that up. Also, something that parents need to look out for when we start talking about toxic friends, because your children, feel alike, could have toxic friends. So parents need to be able to recognize a change in their child's behavior. They may have a toxic friend. Yes. They may have a toxic friend, so beware. And also, we want to talk about should Black people stop calling the cops? Because we hear all of these different stories about when somebody called the cops, next thing you know, they're shot and killed or arrested. And so this plays into
this whole story.
Yes. So this plays into that whole story that's going on and what happened in Fort Worth, Texas, here in Texas, my state. With the mother being arrested after she called the cops because the neighbor choked her son. So I have a lot to say about that. That's just absolutely insane. Yeah, she never should have had to endure that. She never should have had to go through that. We really need the brothers in their community to step up. And especially in Fort Worth, that's where they had that RBG conference and they Black Power this, hotel that, and all of this and all of that. I want to see what they're going to do. I want to see what the Huey P. Newton Gun Club here in, where is it? Is that in Dallas? I think Huey P. Newton Gun Club is in Dallas. I need the brothers in Fort Worth. I need the brothers here in Houston. I need the brothers and sisters, but in particular the brothers, to step up, and we need to make certain that that police officer is dealt with. And if you're sitting around waiting on the city and the cops to do something, come on. So we'll talk about that story. Yeah. We need to quit walking around here saying no justice, no peace, because what you speak comes into existence and reality. If we keep saying no justice, no peace, you're putting that out there. Well, we get no justice. Oh, we have no peace. So I think maybe we need to just change that whole slogan and make it something else.
Words have energy.
Words are spells.
But you call out.
I heard a brother mention that before, and that's when I started thinking about that. And I was like, you know what? That does make sense. If we keep announcing no justice, no peace, not even realizing what energy that possibly could be carrying.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And a whole group like that, collective energy is powerful.
So maybe we should say something else. Peace. Yeah, maybe we should come up with another march slogan, if that's what y'all want to do, marching, shout something. So maybe we should come up with something else. Think of something else that will really bring forth action, like we're going to get our own justice and we're going to have peace. Something like that. But anyway, we want to talk about that. And then also you are going to help us feather light a little bit more with balancing our throat chakra, which yes. I know I could do something.
I'll explain layman's term what mm-hmm. chakra is first. Because some people don't have a clear concept of the chakras. It's like telling somebody to take a bath and they don't know what water is.
Mm-hmm. Hey, sorry, greetings, lady. Sorry to interrupt, but mm-hmm. Feather Light, if we can get you to hang up and call back in, because your audio is real, real scratchy and hard to make out what you're saying, and so you might have just a bad connection that can be rectified by you hanging up and calling back. All right.
Thank you.
Okay, I will.
Thanks, Scotty. I was just about to ask you, is that just me hearing that feedback? Look, can everyone hear this? So we apologize for that feedback, and thank you so much, Scotty.
Oh, you're welcome.
I appreciate that.
You know what you yes. were saying about that, no justice, no peace? My mother mm-hmm. said that to me years ago about a Sharpton slogan. She was like, this is how you know he a fake preacher, or he don't know the word of God. This is what my mom said. This is my mom speaking, not me speaking. And she was mm-hmm. saying he don't know about the power of words, that you will have what you say. And he needs to stop right. saying no justice, no peace. So she said that's that right. to me about 2 or 3 years ago.
And that's something, well, see, it must be divine and it must be right. It must be, because if your mother is feeling that, and like I said, when I first started thinking about it is, I heard a brother say that. He said, y'all need to quit saying that no justice, no peace. Think about what you're saying. And, you know, I've really been thinking about that. And so, Featherlight, let me see. Did Featherlight, were you able to?
Yes, I'm here. Is this better?
Did you hear? That's better. That's better for me. Scotty?
100% better.
Great.
Ooh, baby, we're in the 100% mark. Hey. But if you missed what Scotty just mentioned that his mother also shared the same sentiments in regards to that slogan, no justice, no peace. How powerful the words are. And she said that Al Sharpton apparently is a fake preacher and don't know the word of God. Because yes, you do. Mm-hmm. You have to believe in yourself and believe in mm-hmm. the power that quote unquote God has given you. And mm-hmm. words are powerful. Words
they
are spells.
Mm-hmm. They really mm-hmm. are. If you constantly say, I feel so terrible, I feel so terrible. You mm-hmm. will feel terrible as long as you keep saying that. You're calling it out. You're speaking it out into the universe.
Yes, you are. And that's not what we want to do. We want positivity. Definitely.
Yes.
Speaking of which, I just have to mention this. I notice, and let me tell people, I live in the Houston area. I live in Houston. And, the area that I live in, it's like the Galleria shopping area. I live where all the boutiques and the malls and all that crap is located. And let me tell you, uh-huh. the weekend, I stay right by the highway, Highway I-10. Okay, if you're in the south on this side of the country, you know about I-10. I live right, a stone's throw from I-10. When I tell you the streets were bare, when I tell you that these people were not out shopping, they were not out drinking and eating.
No, no, no.
It was completely bare. And the only reason why I was out is because I've been trapped in this house for about 2 weeks ill, and I had to get out and take care of some business. Because normally I'm like, oh God, I don't even want to get out during this Christmas crowd. And I was like dreading having to actually leave out of the house and get into the traffic. And I was just so amazed because the streets were so clear. I said, Lord, have mercy. Have people finally gotten the message and stopped all this damn shopping for Christmas?
Yes. I had to go to my bank because I changed phones and all of my passwords no longer locked in memories, and I couldn't get into the, you know, to change around some money. And the little forgot password thing doesn't work with the bank. You have to go back in there to change the password going inside the building, the bank. My bank happens to be located in a Walmart store, which I had to go into Walmart. I did not realize, because I waited a couple of days before I did this, I did not realize that it was Christmas Eve when I went to my bank. Mm-hmm. And it did not look like Christmas Eve in Walmart. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until, in fact, I even stopped and picked up some wooden beads because I make jewelry, and they, I just got that one thing, and just, I saw a short line of, let me get this one here. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I got home, I think the next day, that I realized that I had been actually in a department store on Christmas Eve. Had I known that it was Christmas Eve, the bank would have had to wait. But it just didn't look like it.
I know, right?
It did not look like it.
Right. It was just so amazing. I mean, I was driving down the street like, oh my God, the streets are actually bare. And like a store that I did go into, because I am making my gifts that I'm giving to people. I'm an artist, and I'm giving away some art. Right. And I was just shocked. That's the only reason why I was near any of these stupid stores. But yeah, I was just completely shocked. So I just want to commend everybody that stayed at home and refused to do a ton of shopping and going into debt. Yes, because people, you need to be, and I know people already know this, putting your emergency cash to the side, your waters, mm-hmm. your coconut oils, water purifiers, your go bags, and all of that stuff. Get all of that stuff ready.
Learn some survival techniques.
Definitely. Get that going on. So, yes, I want to commend everybody for that. I was so proud of people. I said, yes, not out shopping. No. Even the grocery stores. I mean, I stayed like in between two grocery stores, and I mean, just grocery stores bare. And I'm saying this because I recall when I relocated here to Houston in 2009, the area that I was living in was like directly across the street from the Galleria Mall. I mean, when I stepped, I was staying in a hotel for like 3 months. And I mean, like when I stepped out the hotel, I looked at the Galleria Mall. And, I would have to travel across the street, which is like across the highway. And I mean, that traffic, it would take just to go half a mile, not even half a mile, it would take you like 45 minutes, 30 minutes, just because of all the Christmas traffic going towards the Galleria Mall here in Houston, which is absolutely ridiculous. I hate that. I can't. I'm not going to say it. I just don't like malls. It's not anything against the Galleria Mall. I just don't like malls. I have a phobia. I don't like all that crap. So it just would take forever. And I was just, I'm shocked. I was just completely shocked. I know people are like, why is she so into that? Because I was completely shocked. And I'm just so thrilled that people are not out going broke, spending money on gifts. Stop
yes,
all of that
we are
crap.
Listening.
Yes. People are waking up. You can't just sit here and mistreat people, enslave people, kill people on the street, and then expect for people to just keep living their life. Oh yeah, pass the chicken and give me a 40.
Right.
No, we're not gonna keep doing that. So
we're not gonna keep being played.
No.
Over and over again.
No, not over and over again.
Contributing
to my oppression.
Exactly.
I'm not gonna do that one. I'm not doing that. Tried to go see Fences. The movie Fences with Denzel and Viola. I remember reading that particular play by August Wilson when I was taking my African-American, African-American literature class, that's right.
Literature.
Mm-hmm. African-American literature class at the U of M back in Memphis. And August Wilson, great writer, recently passed, I think maybe about 5 or 6 years ago, tried to go see that movie. I could not believe it was sold out. So I cannot review it. I plan on reviewing it. I have tried to go see it twice. And I'm like, man, I didn't even feel like getting out. I didn't even really feel like getting out. I just, you know, wanted to go and support this particular movie because Denzel and Viola should win Oscars for their performance. Before I even see it, I already know.
I already know.
It's no question about it. They need to win an Oscar for this because you want to give them Oscars and Academies and all this crap for being a crooked cop and being a maid and all of this stuff. But let's see them receive Oscars for an outstanding performance that revolves around family and family issues. So, I'm so looking forward to seeing that. I am going to go spend a little money on that one to go see that. And I rarely go to see a movie. As I've gotten older, though, I just fall asleep. I tend to fall asleep in the theater. So I can't, like, really, I really can't go at night. I always have to go to a matinee because I don't want to pay full price. And plus, I need to go in the daytime.
I don't like to go at night either.
I don't care how good a movie is. I tend to fall asleep. But, I can't wait to see that. And we also want to let people know we are going to start a 7-day vegan challenge and a master cleanse fast detox on January the 2nd. I need to eat my black eyed peas first of the year, so I have to wait. So you can join in on that 7-day vegan challenge. I'm actually transitioning into a vegetarian raw food diet this year, so I'll be on my detox longer. But if you want to start out the first 7 days with us and go ahead on and clean your system out and get your mind prepared for 2017, do join us on the 7-day vegan challenge. 7 days, you can do it. I have all the faith in the world. We will continue to remind you about this. And yes, you can do it. It is so very easy.
Think of all the things that we have put into our bodies the entire year. All the junk that is still there. And fellas, think about your car. Well, we have as our bodies are our vehicles, and periodically we do have to clean the engine of your car, right? After so many months or whatever, it's the same thing with our bodies. We do have to periodically clean our engine if we want it to work at optimum performance. It's simple, it's logical, it makes all the sense in the world.
So we'll talk more about that. All right, Feather Light, you want to talk about Lyrical Angel Prince?
Yes, we had a couple of Lyrical Angels who left us this year. And first it was Prince. And little facts about Prince, born June 7th, 1958 in Minneapolis. And he died on April 21st, 2016 at the age of 57 in Paisley Park, which is that's pretty young. 57 is very young. His parents were both in the music industry. His mother was a jazz singer, and his father was a lyricist and pianist. So, and his father's name, stage name, by the way, was Prince Rogers. Prince was the youngest producer, being at the age of 18, associated with the Warner Brothers label. So he made history in that effort. And his first hit was 1999. I mean, he had some more before that, but the first big hit was 1999. And in 1984, he released what was considered a masterpiece, which was Purple Rain.
Purple Rain.
Yes. Mm. And Prince's father contributed to this album. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
Yes, his father contributed to this album, Purple Rain, and he also contributed to some other albums that he had. And he didn't make his he didn't make this private. It's just that we didn't hear a lot about it. So the artist changed his name to an unpronounceable symbol in the 1990s during a contractual fight with Warner Brothers. And this has become legendary. Rolling Stone's magazine ranked it as the fourth boldest career move in rock history. So the story goes that he wanted to release more music and wanted to own his masters. That makes perfect sense. And the record company wouldn't let him. So he began appearing in public with the word "slave" written across his face. And years later, he finally got what he wanted. He struck a landmark deal in 2014 with Warner's and regained control over his back catalog. He did some finagling and he got through some legal issues. So he had 14 platinum albums, many 14. Have gone platinum several times. And he will be remembered as a musician and artist who inspired millions through his music and set an inspirational platform which others still abide by. One of his famous quotes, he had some famous quotes, but I like this one. Cool means being able to hang with yourself. All you have to do is ask yourself, is there anybody I'm afraid of? Is there anybody who, if I walked into a room and saw, I'd get nervous? If not, then you're cool. I like that. So next we lost George Michael, who was born in London, England, in 1963, June 25th. As a teenager, he formed the group Wham. I remember Wham. With his high school friend. And then he went solo. And he did the big hit, worldwide hit, "Wake Me Up Before You Go." I like that too.
Wake me up before you go.
Okay, so 2 years later, he went solo. He sold 25 million copies of his debut album. That was pretty big. And in 1998, Michael announced, I remember he used to wear that earring, and people used to, this was before Gay became popular, people used to wonder, why he got that earring on his ear? And in 1998, he announced that he was gay after being arrested for lewd conduct in a public restaurant, and it came out. So it's like, okay, I'm gay. So he died of heart failure on December 25th, Christmas Day, this year, in his home. At the age of 53. Again, young.
He was
53?
George Michael. Well, I have much to say on George Michael. I did like his music and all, but of course, Prince is my favorite. And I know we have someone on the line that lives in Minnesota. Mother Hat, I say hot, and if you have any comments you'd like to share on Prince or anything else, I say hot, you can press ** and unmute yourself. I love Prince, one of my absolute favorite artists of all time, him and Marvin Gaye, of course. Yeah, but Prince was like, of course, to Michael Jackson, all those people. But like Prince, oh my God. Prince, oh Lord. I went to see Michael Jackson, well, the Jacksons concert. That was my first concert. And then Prince. And my grandmother was a big fan of Prince. I mean, she was like his number one fan that I knew anyway. So we loved Prince. I actually went to my first Prince concert. I think I went to my first one with my grandmother. I think it may have been with my dad. And I met my granny there. Or something like that. But anyway, I love Prince. People back home in Memphis, they call me Nikki. That's my nickname. And so when that song, "Darling Nikki," came out, oh my God. that was one reason why I wanted to stop being called Nikki, because people would be like, are you like "Darling Nikki"? You know, all that whole mess. Are you like "Darling Nikki"? You know, when I got older, I'm like, Man, get your nasty old butt out of my face. Are you like dialing Nicki on Prince song? And if I was, you wouldn't be able to handle me. Now what? Can't handle me now. So anyway, but yeah, I love Prince. Of course, Purple Rain. Going to see Purple Rain, that was just, oh goodness gracious, man! I remember.
Oh yeah, I love that. Oh, wow. It was such a fantastic movie. Oh.
I could still watch Purple Rain. I could watch that tonight. Too. And get up and sing and dance, all of that. So let's take a quick break, and we will be back to dig into our topic of friendship abuse. You're listening to the Lotus Place Radio Show. We'll be right back after this break.
Okay. Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
All right, and we're back here at the Lotus Place Radio Show. And tonight we're talking about friendship abuse, and also, should black people stop calling the police? But we really want to talk about this friendship abuse, because this is like a part of our abuse, social abuse series. As I mentioned, we've already discussed elderly abuse, and tonight we are going to pick up on friendship abuse. Now, have you ever had a friend, or had or have a friend, or this person that you considered a friend, associate, companion, they always giving you these little subtle or not so subtle jabs or put downs, offensive comments? They make a lot of offensive comments to you, like, oh, why you got that on? Oh, this, oh, that. Just always complaining about something about you. Or friends that attempt to guilt you into certain, like, adventures or excursions. Friends is always trying to get you to do stuff you know you shouldn't do. Go places you know you don't want to go to. But they, it's like they drag you there, drag you along with them on their little adventures. And you'd rather stay at home and have a V8. But they want you to go out and do all this crap. And you're like, look, really? Gosh, I can't even count how many times before I just actually stopped going out, like going out like that, like on a regular basis. Because I used to go out every weekend. I mean, I would go out 3-4 times a week. Yeah, I did it for years. For started early and was just going on and on. And so I would have a lot of friends that would always want to go out, and I was like, look, man, I've been going out like this since I was way too young to be doing it. So it's like, that's not exciting to me. That's just not exciting to me at all. I've had so much excitement in my life in terms of going out. So I felt like it got to a point where I felt like I was just going out because it was a thing to do and my friend expected me to do it. And I'm just going along.
Right.
So, yeah, right. I definitely can speak on that and can relate to that. And then there may be there may be some friends that they put you down and then they expect for you to pick them up all the time. And they just drain the life right out of you. And not only that, they do that. They drain you like for their own wicked personal gain, their own selfish personal gain. Because they may not be an evil person. It's just that they're just pulling for what they want. They just want to drain somebody. You're that person.
But you are allowing it.
You're allowing it. And so I remember years ago listening to Bobby Hymett. I love listening to Bobby Hymett. He has a lot of metaphysical type of lectures. And I remember he spoke about psychic vampires. And that was the first time I ever heard that. Heard these type of people given that type of appellation. Psychic vampires. People that come into your life. They may not necessarily be your friend. It could just be people, but we're speaking about friendship abuse. So friends that come into your life, you think these are friends, pseudo friends, and their whole purpose is to just drain you and to throw you off track, keep you discombobulated, and steer you away from what your true mission is. Exactly. And that's what they are. They're psychic vampires. They are here to derail your progress. And we have to recognize people in our lives like that, because people, they will get you caught up. And I know I do it. I can get people caught up in what I'm doing easily. And I don't think I necessarily do it in a malicious way. It's just that's, I think some people are like that. They have a mission and they get people all caught up in what they're doing. And we can speak about a lot of different people and entities to do that. And just to name one, and I'm not speaking bad about it, let's just say Xerox. Xerox got whoever started the company Xerox, they got a bunch of people caught up in their dream. And so you can come and apply and work for me and help me build this. And that's what happens. We get caught up in other people's dreams just by working on a job helping their mission. So that's being caught up. So we can get caught up in like a friend's life. So we're all caught up in what the friend is doing. It's all about the friend. So do you have a friend that's always pulling you, draining you for something? They call, every time they call, they're calling about a problem, an issue. They need you to save them. So
Or just bend your ear for an hour and a half listening to them. And then they say, well, I got to go.
People like that.
And then when you're off the phone, you're just like, oh, I got to go to bed.
Oh, my God. Yes. I had a friend. She would do that all the time. She would call me every week or every 2 weeks about how some dude did her wrong. And I would listen at first. And then after a while, I said, hey, you know what? Every week you're telling me the same story about a different dude. So stop complaining about the dudes and start looking at yourself, because you're picking those people. And I had to just outline that for her. You're picking the same people, and then you complain about how they mistreated you. But what actions are you doing? You can't meet a man on Friday and have him over your house spending the night Saturday, and you cooking dinner for him Sunday, and you want him to go to church, which is Sunday morning, and then come back and sit down and eat dinner with you and the children. You can't expect for nobody to do all of that, and then, you know, oh, we're going to have a relationship. Come on now. And that's what she was doing. Yeah, and then you want to say, he wrong. He whatever. No, you just met that dude. You don't even really know him. So you can't talk about anything he's doing right or wrong, because he don't owe you nothing. He just met, y'all had known each other 2 weeks. Right. You should not even been out nowhere with him. You just met him. You don't know him.
Expectations, yes.
Yeah, what you doing going out with him and you just met him? You don't know that man. So anyway... Right. I digress. So
that's a good example.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we're gonna get into that too. So people that have these types of behaviors, it's something else. It's something inside, some unresolved issues that they need to tackle and address within them. Mm-hmm. So. There's this psychologist, Heather Hatfield. She said, with toxic friends like these, who needs enemies?
Who
needs enemies? She says also, friends that clearly exhibit distasteful, nasty behavior on a consistent basis, as opposed to those of us who just have a bad day once in a while and take it out on some of the people we care about the most. Our friends. So you have a friend, they may have a bad day. I know I've done it before. I've been like that with you, Feather, like have a headache, it's tired, having a bad day, and I come in all snappy because I'm an Aries. I already have a lot of fire inside of me, and so sometimes it just comes out like and the thing about it is you have to recognize that and then come back and at least apologize to that person. Hey, you know, I got a headache, I'm having a bad day, right. And I may have said it like this and I really didn't mean it like that for you. Right. This is me, so please forgive me. Right. So friendship abuse,
but not on the regular this is you kind of thing. Uh-huh. This is normal behavior. Right.
This is normal behavior. You have a negative, nasty attitude every time I'm around you. That's when you know it's something going on. It's something that's just not in order with this whole relationship. And friendships are like love relationships. They're very similar. It's a relationship. A relationship. Mm-hmm. So
relationship.
Yeah, you have to know how to work that friendship just like you have to know how to work a love relationship. So tonight we're going to talk about some examples of possible friendship abuse, how friendships impact our daily lives, what is abuse. Some people may not really know that they're being abused. What is a toxic friendship? Identifying abusive friends. And then we want to talk about understanding like the origin of the rudeness and the condescending comments and just the pure ugliness from that perpetrator. And also, let's go deeper and let's talk about why is it that you are indulging this friend? Why do you allow yourself to be abused? There's a song, I think it's Love Drought by Beyonce on this new Lemonade album. And she has a lyric in there where she says, and this album was supposed to be about her and Jay-Z issues that they were having in their marriage and what have you. But she says in the song, I think it's Love Drought, or in one of the poems on that, digital album, she says something like, why do you not allow yourself to be loved? Those are not the exact words. But she's saying to him, I'm giving you all of this love. And what is it about you, dude? Yeah. It's something with you. It's not me, because I'm me. I'm doing me. It's something about you, whereas you're not allowing yourself to be loved by me. You feel like you still need to go out here and do all this crazy stuff with your old ass. Need to sit down. I love the way she said what she's saying in that album, because she's speaking to him in just such this beautiful way with all the poems and the lyrics and just that whole digital album. I mean, and I kind of dropped off on Beyonce. I really wasn't thinking about her, but that digital album, when you really listen to it and watch it, I say watch the album, the digital album.
Watch it.
What she's saying to him. Throughout a lot of those songs, you will not allow yourself to be loved. There's an issue with you. I'm giving you this. I'm being here. I'm a woman to you. We have a family. And for some reason, with your issues, you're not allowing yourself to be happy. And there are a lot of us like that. We don't allow ourselves to be happy for whatever reason. We feel like we don't deserve this. So we mess everything up that's good to come into our lives. So we want to go into that deeper issue. Mm-hmm. And finally, we want to talk about ways to just really extract yourself from a toxic friendship. So how to get out of that, how to free yourself, how to liberate yourself from that toxic friendship. So friendships, very important to us, right? They have positive things to contribute to all the areas of our lives, but they can also be toxic in any of the areas of our lives, because friends, they permeate our lives by having an impact on our careers, marriages, families, children, health. And I read this quote that says, friends are the family that we choose for ourselves. Friends are the family that we choose for ourselves. So we choose these friends. We choose these people to be in our lives. Right. So you just like you choose to have them, you can choose to not have them. And so the friendships, they're very important to us, and they can be healing, they can be beautiful, but they can also be very violent and abusive, and that is what you don't need. So what is abuse? What is abuse? Abuse is something, like inappropriate treatment, treating someone with cruelty or violence on a regular basis. It's the improper use of something. Abuse is the improper usage or treatment of an entity, often to unfairly or improperly gain benefit. Abuse can come in many forms, such as physical, verbal, injury, assault, violation, rape, unjust practices, crimes, or other types of aggression. Now, I read this article in researching this topic by Kai Chin Young, who wrote an article entitled 8 Signs Your Friendship Might Be Abusive. And Kai Chin speaks about how us not really being taught, some of us maybe not, have been able to have a teaching on how to nurture a friend and how to tend to the health of our friendships. Just like there's like no real manual on certain things in life, nobody really sits us down in school and say, this is how you should choose your friends. These are the types of friends you should have. These are the types that you should not. A parent may tell their child not to have this type of friend when they see that their child has this type of friend. But how do they know ahead of time not to pick that type of friend? And how do they know to nurture that relationship so that it can be a healthy friendship? A lot of parents may tell people, don't hang around anybody that's bad. Don't hang around those children stealing at the store or whatever like that. But just the real nuts and bolts on a friendship, the health of it, how to end it. Do we really talk about that? Do we really learn that? Where do we learn that? How do we learn it? When do we learn it? So Kai Chin goes on to say that because of this, then we're even less equipped to recognize, let alone respond to violence or abuse between friends when it occurs. But it does happen. And friends should not misuse you, and they should not use their power against you in any kind of negative way. So let's talk about identifying abusive friends a little bit more. So what is an abusive friend? So like a toxic friend. A toxic friend can stress you out. When you're around them, you feel stressed out because they have all this negative energy and drama. So you just, oh my God, they just stress you completely out. An abusive friend, they use you, they manipulate you. Like they may manipulate you into doing certain things for them or with them. They're unreliable. You're there for them whenever they need you, but say for instance your car breaks down on the highway or something.
Oh my goodness.
You may try to call them, or you need them to come over and babysit for you because there's an emergency. But they're like, oh, girl, I'm out with Joe right now. And all this kind of stuff. The friend could be overly demanding, and they don't give anything back. And again, they can bring their nasty behavior to you on a consistent basis. Don't need that. And an abusive friend, it could be one of those people, they want the drama of ruining or interrupting your day whenever they please. So it's like they can just call you at 7 o'clock in the morning with some drama, and you're supposed to be okay with listening to that drama. They can call you at 2 o'clock in the morning, and you're supposed to be okay would listen to, girl, let me tell you what just happened. Such and such and such. It's okay if this happens and your friend calls you. Yes, we're supposed to be there for a friend. But just, again, going back to the whole repetitive cycle of this is a consistent basis. You're calling me with a bunch of drama. And not only that, whenever I have drama, you don't have time to listen to it.
Don't have time
so
to listen.
So a friend can bring you drama. Right. They can bring you drama, okay, because people need outlets. But the problem arises when there's no reciprocity. They don't have time to listen to you. I've had people like that in my life, too. I'll talk more about that. Let's see. They give you these passive-aggressive compliments like, oh, wow, you finally did something with your hair. It's about time. Like when I had locks, I had this friend that would always say, you need to get that stuff out your hair. Why don't you let me perm your hair so we can see how long it really is? And all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, why are you so concerned about my hair? This is my hair. Right. When I cut all my hair off, the many times I cut all my hair off, why you cut your hair off like that? You should not cut your hair like that. All these comments. It don't look good on you. So. Okay. Well,
you look better with your hair like that. Yeah.
You don't have to wear it. You don't have to look at me. It's okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You should have kept your hair the other way.
Yeah, you should have kept it the other way. Why you change it to that color? Because I wanted to, because I'm grown. Yeah, none of my mail comes to your home. You don't pay any of my bills. They bring up your more embarrassing moments when they feel like you're getting too confident because, God forbid, you threaten their dominance. They try to rain on your parade. So someone, whenever you're feeling joyful and jocund and you're just having a great day and then you come around this friend, and then they shoot you down. Why are you all happy? You always so damn happy. And blah, blah, blah. And then they start trying to come down on you about different things. And it's like, ugh. So they just try to rain on your parade. They don't want to see you happy. If a friend does not want to see you happy, first of all, that's not a friend. That's not a friend. I don't know what that noise is. Yep. So they're not a friend. And you don't want that.
No,
you don't want that. If they're negative, no, can't
misery
have it.
Loves company kind of thing.
Misery loves company. Now, if you're also walking on eggshells around a friend because you don't know what will make them angry, that's a problem. You should not be walking on eggshells. You should be free. You should feel free. Your friend should not make you feel trapped. That's right. You should be you. Here's another one. Your entire nightly plan revolves around them calling you, and when they do, you feel grateful. Oh, my God. Now, I can't speak on that because...
Me either.
My plans...
I can't speak on that one.
No, I can't, but maybe somebody can. And maybe you didn't know that this is the action.
Right.
These are some of your behaviors or actions. But you, I mean, your nightly plan revolves around them calling you. My nightly plans ain't even revolved around no guy, no man like that. Darn sure not no friend. I don't give a damn if you call or not. I got things to do.
Always.
I don't care if it's sitting up here in my bed. Reading, looking at my wall, pictures on my, I don't care. Honey, my room is like an amusement park. And that's one thing my grandmother taught me. My grandmother taught me, make sure you have all the comforts in your home. Everything, make sure your home is comfortable. If you have to be on lockdown in your home, you have everything you need. And I do. Like my other friend used to say, I have everything a poor man needs. So I don't revolve my plans around anybody, but I mean that is an issue apparently because that was listed.
If it rings a bell with somebody,
yeah,
that's a red flag. The red flag.
Yeah. You can't make any plans because you have to wait and see what they may need. Oh, they may call. Oh my God. Mm-mm. Have yourself a schedule. If you go ahead on and make yourself a schedule, then when they do call, you have plans. You have a schedule. So yes, they need to start respecting that. And we're going to get more into that about when you need to start recognizing a toxic friend and how to handle them. Setting boundaries. Here's a big one. Now, this is the main identifier, one of the main identifiers, in my opinion. When you know you have an abusive friend, you don't have fun with them and they don't make you feel good. If you are not having a good time around this person, because that's supposed to be your quote unquote friend, if you're not having a good time around them and they don't make you feel good, then right. Yeah, no.
If you're looking at your watch, mm-hmm. waiting for the top night to end.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So let's talk about quickly just this phrase, toxic friend. According to Jen Berman, this PhD psychologist, she says toxic friend is pop psychology. And she would say it's someone who, after spending time with them, makes you feel bad about yourself instead of good. Someone who tends to be critical of you, sometimes in a subtle way, or not so subtle. You cross the line from helping a friend in need to helping a friend who is always needy when their friend is abusive, right? Now, she goes on to say, if your friend is asking for support that's quite different from someone who constantly asks for support and is constantly mean and abusive. Right. So, like, if you dread when they call, your phone rings, you see it's them. You're like, oh my God, you just don't want to answer the phone. Send them the voicemail or leave out the room or whatever. Somebody taking advantage of your kindness. That's an abusive friend. They undermine anything you do or say. Everything is about them. Ooh. Right. Always pulling from you. So you have to set some boundaries. If your boundaries are disrespected, their friend is being abusive. Uh-huh. Somebody that makes you feel like you can't do anything right. That's abuse.
That's emotional abuse.
Right. And if this person makes you take responsibility for their health and safety, that's abuse. No, I'm not responsible for your health and safety. I can help you, but I'm not responsible. You are the primary person that's responsible for your own health and safety. You are not my dependent. So, no. Mm-mm. Like this old lady used to say, your shoes are not under my bed. So, you're not my responsibility. No, your shoes not under my bed. So, no. And I don't put your plate on my table. So you're not my responsibility. So, quickly, let's just talk about like the origins of the rudeness. Like, why are these people so rude? When abuse is present in a friendship, the perpetrator may be driven by intense feelings of anxiety, worry, and fear. They may be in fear of so many different things, like telling the truth, fear of attack, fear of abandonment. So they just have something going on inside of them. And that's something that they need to deal with. So it could be a number of reasons. That's just a short list. There could be a number of reasons as to why this person acts like this. They may have a bad attitude because that's the type of environment they live or come from. And so they may not even recognize that they're being rude or ugly. Or they may just have an abusive personality because they've been abused.
Historically, abusive family.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Now, let's get to the deeper issue, though. Why do you indulge this friend? Why are you allowing this friend to treat you like this? So it's time for introspection to understand why you continue to accept the abuse from this person. Why are you continuing to allow this person to abuse you? And when abuse is present in a friendship, both the survivor and the perpetrator can have the same reason. So the reason why that person is abusive is very similar to why you accept that abuse. You have this fear. You have feelings of anxiety, worry, or fear, fear of abandonment. You may fear that, oh, if I tell them that they're rude and I don't want to be their friend, then who am I going to have as a friend? So, yeah, you could be feeling like that. A number of reasons why you feel you could have been abused all your life. And that's all you know. You don't recognize when somebody's there to treat you the way that you should be treated. You're so accustomed to being beat down. You accept it in all of your relationships, work, love life, friendship. You just allow people to abuse you. They can be a part of your life, just your personality. And so that's something
your experience.
That's something that people really need to look into. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll come right back and close out with how to extract yourself from a toxic relationship. So we'll be right back after this break. You're listening to The Lotus Place.
Talk Radio, your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
All right, and we're back here at the Lotus Place, and you're tuned in tonight as we are here on our very last Wednesday of the 2016 year, going into 2017, the 1-7, and I'm so looking forward to the 1-7. If the creek don't rise, and God willing, I'll be able to see 2017 come in. We're talking about friendship abuse, and then we're going to go into our second topic of should black people stop calling the police? And I can give you a resounding yes on that, but we'll talk about it. Maybe you think we should still call them for certain things, and we're happy to hear that. But let's just conclude on our topic of friendship abuse, having an abusive toxic friend, somebody that's just negative, bring you down, just always draining you, draining. Oh my God, just full of complaints. So how do you handle that? When you decide that you will no longer allow this person to engage you in their manipulations, when you come to terms with this pseudo friendship that is causing you pain, minus any gain on your part, it is time to take action. What you want is the right amount of reciprocity, of affection and assistance in friendship. This is what Dr. Isaacs also says. Overall, there should be some kind of balance in which you feel you are getting your needs met, and so should your friend. So there needs to be a balance, okay? Take some time to just think about this relationship. If what we've said tonight, if you recognize some of these behaviors either with your friend or yourself, then in 2017, the 1-7, please take some time, meditate on it, pray about it, maybe go have some therapy, talk to somebody about what's going on, and make a change. Like Michael Jackson said, make that change. So how do you liberate yourself from a toxic friend? Because as we stated, a friendship can be very much like a love relationship. How do you make the break? So take responsibility. Yes, it can be hard to let go. Take responsibility. Set some boundaries for yourself and talk to the friend. Talk to them and let them know, listen, you keep insulting me and I don't have to take insults. That's how I would say it. But figure out and talk to some other people. And you may have to go into a little more conversation about it, but I'm just saying, like, let them know in however you have, whatever way. You may need to send them a letter or a card. Maybe that's best. But let them know that you can no longer allow yourself to feel this way when you're around them. Now, I want to give a quick example, and then we're going to bring in Delta Cougar. She has a quick letter. I had this friend, and she was hilarious. I mean, she could be a stand-up comedian. I'm not going to call her name. But she could be a just fun when she was in a good mood. But whenever she was in a bad mood, one of her little ugly moves, and I found out that one reason why she had these ugly outbursts, and she was so abusive, she was abused. So she was in an abusive relationship with her husband, and so she would have these times when she would just get so ugly, and I discontinued being friends with her, bumped into her again. We started spending time together again, going places, being friends, la, la, la. And she still had the same attitude after she had said that she kind of changed and blah, 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 blah. She was still nasty. She just still had this horrible attitude at times. And one time I just was not in the mood for it, and I told her, listen, I don't know what it is, that I'm a positive person. I try to remain joyful and have a good time. And I'm just not with a lot of negativity. I'm not with a lot of drama. I don't get into arguing with people and all of that. I just don't. I don't like it. And you have something going on with you, and whatever it is, you need to deal with it, because I can no longer be a part of that. And honey, she cried and all of that stuff. But I was like, child, whatever. Okay, because see, no, you're just not gonna abuse me. Wipe your eyes, whatever you want. I don't, you know. Hey, I couldn't deal with it anymore. Because if I was a more, I don't even want to say weaker or sensitive, but if I was the type of person that would easily cry, she would have made me cry many times by all of the things that she said. But see, I did grow up with old crazy daddy and uncle that used to talk crazy to me all the time. So when people talk crazy, it don't really bother me in the sense that it hurts me, but it bothers me that, no, you're not going to do that, because you're not my dad and my uncle. You don't do anything for me. I don't have to show you any kind of respect. There's no obligatory respect for you. So you can leave my life. My dad and my uncle, they talk crazy. And so, I mean, whatever. But no, I don't have to let some Joe Blow off the street. Like the therapist said, we choose these people, that quote I read. We choose these people to be in our lives. So, I mean, I didn't choose my dad and uncle, per se.
Right.
But, yeah, so, and then I had another friend.
It's your play.
Yeah.
It's your play.
And I had another friend.
Dismiss anybody.
I can dismiss you. I had another friend that would get intoxicated, and then she would talk crazy to people. And I'm like, look, you drink that six pack and you get out of control. And you know what? I'm not getting ready to deal with any of that. And so I had to let her know by discontinuing my friendship with her. She had one last time. She cut up, had one too many beers. And no, you think you can just go off on me like that? No way, no way. So Featherlight, you have any comments on that? I think Icy Hot has a comment on abusive friendships as well.
Oh, I've had a couple of abusive friends, and I'm very, very particular about who I let into my circle, because I am one of those sensitive people, and I cannot stand to be around negative people, because it throws off my vibrations. So I can dismiss myself out of the relationship. And I really did try to do it one time in a, like you said, I said, listen, what you're saying is hurtful, or you're very critical. I think she said something about, oh, you're getting a fat stomach, you know. I don't know anything about being fat. I don't watch my weight, you know. But she was on the slim side, you know. And so I said, you know, you mentioned my weight. This is not the third time that mm-hmm. you mentioned my weight, and I'm pretty cool with my weight. And she came back with, oh, you're just too sensitive. I said, no, you are very harsh in your words. Mm-hmm. You know, and I really, people have a habit of doing that when they speak to people who they consider to be too sensitive. Oh, you just, that's no excuse for your bad mm-hmm. behavior. So I cut the ties with that. I kind of went off, you know. I could have done it in a better way, but they pushed the wrong button. So they've been released from being in my play anyway.
Well, I know that's right. Absolutely.
Their role is finished.
Their role is finished. Goodbye. See you.
Yeah.
All right. Icy Hot, would you like to share a comment on friendship abuse? Your mic is open, Icy Hot. You have a comment on friendship abuse? Oh, I thought your mic was open. Let me.
Can you hear me?
Open your mic, yes. Hey, Icy Hot.
Oh, okay, you can hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for letting me in to share my little 2 cents worth on relationships and abuse and what have you. There's this cute little book, and it's called The Power of People by Dr. Cornelia Price. She's a sister. And it is such a simple concept, and it kind of can help people put things in perspective when it comes to all the relationships that we have, friends, and whatever kind of relationship it might be, our boyfriend, our girlfriend, what have you. But she talks about the adders, the subtractors, the multipliers, and the dividers. So we know it is, isn't that simple? Like, why did I think of that idea and make a bunch of money off of that book?
Yes.
Anyway, she goes like, the multipliers are people that just add to your life significantly, and they just, you know, just really, really, there's so much more going on in your life. Then she talk about the dividers. When these people are in your life, it's all kind of chaos going on and all kind of arguments, and they come in and divide you from your family. And even friends can do that, you know? Friends can do that. It doesn't have to be a intimate relationship. It's just friends.
And then right.
the adders, these are people that add something to your life. It might not be much, but they add something, you know? They're not taking away. Then the subtractors, these are the people that are the takers. And they don't ever bring anything. All they do is take, take, take. They just subtract, subtract, subtract from your life. And I thought, wow, that's just really a simple concept, but even a person who's not very on top of things could understand
that. I totally agree with you on that for sure, because I love that the adders, subtractors, and did you say multipliers?
Multipliers and the dividers. The dividers, the multipliers, the adders, and the subtractors. It's like, wow, that is so true. She gives examples even of, you know, because some people don't know when folks are subtracting from their lives. Some people don't know when folks are adding to their lives.
How can they divide? Did she give an example of how they divide?
Yeah, she talks. She talks about how dividers are people that, if you know, it might be a group of friends or what have you, and these people keep a bunch of chaos and keep everybody arguing and a bunch of conflict in your friendship among the girls, you know, in the group. You know, you got those.
Okay. Yeah, okay, I know. Yeah,
I've had friends like that always keep up conflict and confusion amongst the whole group. So someone was always upset with the next person because this person went and said this and that, and just a bunch of mess, just stirring up a bunch of mess.
Yeah, like kindergarten mess.
Absolutely, absolutely.
They don't like harmony. They can't stand harmony.
Exactly. No. They gotta thrive in chaos. They feel more comfortable in chaos. I mean, I had a friend like that, a very close friend. If it wasn't any chaos, she was not a happy camper. And I knew that. She would create some if it was going real smooth.
Yeah.
And that's just the kind of energy. That's the energy these people carry.
Yeah, that's their energy. That's what they want to do. They want to create all kinds of confusion and anger. So it's you can go ahead on.
Drama. They're the drama queens and kings.
Keep it stepping.
You can move it on. Thank you. Thank you so much. Bye bye. Don't need you in my life.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Nice knowing you. Thank you for the lesson that you taught me.
and we should look at it like that. That was a lesson.
Yes.
And I've learned. So if you have
some of these traits
you may recognize, then you have an abusive friend and you need to deal with it. What were you about to say? I said hi.
And a lot of them are, we might think of them as abusive, but you know what the other part is? Some of them are just really mentally ill. They're psychotic, they're bipolar, all of those things.
All of those things, absolutely. And that's something that, one of the psychologists spoke about. I just couldn't go into a whole lot of detail within this amount of time, but it's some type of mental health issue. It could be a mental health issue with that person that's the abuser, and you have to extract yourself from that because they need to deal with their issues, and they can't deal with them by just constantly bringing you all kinds of pain and harm, and you can't help them by allowing them to continue harming you. So they need to heal and you need to heal and live your life. So
exactly,
best thing to do is talk to that friend. If you can explain to them why you don't want to be their friend anymore, or maybe you just completely disengage or slowly separate yourself with whatever works for you, and you have to end that friendship. And sometimes you may be afraid to end it because you feel like it'll just destroy what you have, but what you have is toxic and it's not helpful and it's harming you, so you need to end it anyway.
Exactly.
And that's how you can extract
yourself. You'll be better off for it.
Now I want to just close with something that my cousin, and she's younger than me, but I learned so much from her, one of my cousins. And one thing that she said, and at first I was like, ooh, that's just horrible to think like that. But she said to me one time, she said, I don't have friends that can't help me. And I don't have friends that I can't help. If we can't help each other in this relationship, why are we friends? And I said, oh, that's just so horrible. But, you know, after just really contemplating and really digesting that, I said, well, you know, that's not really horrible. She said she wants a healthy friendship. We should be able to help each other in some way. And it's not about, oh, let me loan you $1,000 when you need $1,000. It's about helping that person, helping them grow. I say this a lot, but Icy Hot and Delta, my God, I consider them like my advisors. I have just learned so much. And with Delta, she has truly taught me the art of patience. I swear. Mm-hmm. If I had learned nothing else, but Delta has taught me the art of being patient with people. Okay? And so so I feel like I have gained something from our relationship.
That's how you should look at it.
Mm-hmm.
At each person that comes into your life and stays into your life for a little bit of time, whether it's good or bad, look at it as, what did you learn from that? Because they didn't come through your life for nothing. Get something from it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. One of my worst intimate relationships, this guy I was engaged to and everything, one of the worst relationships I would say that I had in terms of like intimacy, and the quote-unquote love relationship I'm speaking of, but I learned so much in terms of like history and the conversations that we would have and things that he introduced me to, a whole nother world of Black studies and African studies and I mean, goodness gracious. So, I mean, he really, really helped me grow into the person that I am. He assisted with that growth. And so even though I thought of it at that time as a negative experience, I learned so much. I wouldn't be the person I am right now if I had not have encountered all of that craziness with him. And I learned not to ever be with anybody like that. So, you know, exactly. I feel like I learned a lot from him. I was like, okay, yeah, yeah. Nobody like you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Exactly. You know what? And I was thinking, I try to protect my children from certain things. And one of the things that happened, I went on a trip one summer, and I took the babysitter from hell with me. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, I thought, oh, God, these children are going through this. But as I thought about it later, after I put her on a bus to send her back home and get away from us, I thought, this is really good. Because let me tell you, I got three little boys, and let me tell you, they saw it, and they were saying how crazy she was. I had no idea. She was a nice little girl is all I knew, and I thought, and her grandmother told me she was a nice little girl, and she was 17 years old. What a perfect age, you know? She's old enough, mature. And after we left, I told those boys, I said, let me tell you, boy, and she was beautiful. Prettiest thing you ever seen. And let me tell you, I said, boys, you see how beautiful you know who is? And I called her name, and I ain't going to call her here. I said, but guess what? You don't ever want to go out and date a girl like that because she's crazy.
She's crazy. She's
beautiful, but she's crazy. And I've used that as a teaching tool for them. Mm. Like you were saying, that man that you were with, had all of that going. But then look at all the lesson you learned, and then you were able to get some history stuff, some black movement stuff out of her. But I share the same with you. The friendships that I've had, I think, over the last couple of years that are new to me in my life, you and your mom included, and Delta Cougar, and it's like, wow. You know, at a time when I had just lost my mom, and you know, my mom and I used to talk on the phone, you know, all times of night. So you guys fill this great void in my life and help me get through that, make that transition. So I appreciate that. Because, you know, we would talk.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, let's talk about our second topic here tonight briefly. Should black people stop calling the police? And, you know, we've been talking about this. We just kind of mentioned it here and there on the Lotus Place show, and I know people are having some of these conversations probably amongst each other, things that happen when black people call the police. There have been so many incidents, whereas we have called the police and someone ends up getting shot and killed, especially when police are called out on a mental health issue or a crisis, which they're not trained or equipped to handle. I don't know why people call them police for that anyway. I think that there should be a mandated law where we should have a number that we can call a crisis center where they can come out. That person's doctor should have some places set up where that person can go to, not calling the police. But in particular, this recent story in Fort Worth, it was all over the news, about Jacqueline Craig in Fort Worth, Texas, called the police because their neighbor who lives like a house, there's a house in between them, and then the other neighbor lives at this next house. And apparently the son allegedly littered. And so the neighbor, this white male, decides he wants to put his hands on the child and choke the child. So the mother calls the police. And when she calls the police begins to question her. And eventually, the mother and one of the daughters is arrested. So, Scotty, if we could just play the clip and then we can get into this story. I think there are two clips. If we could just play both of those clips, that would be great.
I'm sorry.
And so these are the clips.
Unaware. Mm-hmm. Did you send them to me via email?
I did. I can actually, let me see. I think I should be able to, I think I still may have them here. And I could just send them to you quickly. Again, no problem. These are two clips speaking on Jacqueline Craig. And while I'm sending Scotty these clips,
I have them.
Featherlight. Oh, you have them now?
Yes. Okay. You want me to play them both or just one? The clip one? First?
You can go ahead on and play both of them. Yeah, okay. You can just play them. Because I think both of them are just a couple of minutes.
All righty. Here we go.
So I have a problem with that. My son is 7 years old. You don't have the right to grab him, choke him behind the paper that he threw. What you should have done, because we have been living here 4 years, so you know that my house is a door in between doors. You could have came to me. Don't put your hands on my son.
Why don't you teach your son not to litter?
He can't prove to me that my son littered. But it doesn't matter if he did or didn't. It doesn't give him the right to put his hands on it.
Why not?
Because he don't.
You are loved.
Who's that?
Because you don't.
This white man not have the,
Why would you ask me, why don't I teach him? You don't know what I teach him. And you don't, whatever you teach your kids don't mean that they go by your rules when they're not in your sight. Because you just pissed me off telling me what I teach my kids and what I don't.
If you keep yelling at me, you're
going
to piss me off. I'm
going
to
send you to jail.
Okay, you're not. Okay.
Let them shoot that. We are on live. Don't grab her. Don't grab her.
Okay, Scotty, we can stop that one. And we can go to the next one now, because as you can see, the commotion starts, the cop is arresting the mother, the daughter is saying, don't touch her. And actually, if you have not seen that video, you can pull it up online, it's online. One of the daughters comes in between the cop, the slave catcher, and the mother. She's not approaching the cop. Her back is to the cop. So she's approaching the mother, trying to pull the mother away, and the cop immediately grabs the daughter. So let's play the second clip, Scott.
I'm very distraught because what I felt I was doing was actually protecting my child, and it didn't happen. It made me feel less of a parent that I couldn't protect him when he needed it.
We're often asked what was the most offensive thing about what happened yesterday, and there were so many things. Where, as you watch the video, it gets worse by the minute. When you think you've reached the worst part, it gets worse. But the singular most offensive thing is that this is a parent who believed that she could call a police officer to the scene to help her in a time of need. And instead of being able to protect her or her child, she was assaulted. Two of her children were arrested and terrorized. And it sent a signal to the 7-year-old who was just assaulted by a neighbor that he could never rely on police officers for protection. Because when police were called to protect him, they arrested his mom and his sisters. And that's an attack on this family, but it's an attack on the African American community. I believe that's why you're seeing such a strong reaction, really across the world.
Okay, thank you so much for playing that. And so, what really touched me about that interview with the mother is when she said that she felt that she couldn't protect her child, and that's something that just really disturbed me, because I'm not a parent, but I know that parents do feel that they are there to protect and nurture their children. And she thought that she was really doing the right thing by calling the cops and maybe having this man arrested for endangering a child, assault on a child. And she is the one that ends up in handcuffs, her and her daughter. She was released the next day, There was some protests in Fort Worth, but this cop has...
The kid
he's not in the hospital.
Involving the neighbor's lawn, he's not, littering...
He's not in the hospital. He's still at work. He's on restrictive duty. His gun has been taken away from him, but he is still an officer. He has not been arrested. The neighbor, I haven't even seen any interviews with this neighbor. I've not heard that this neighbor has finally been charged for assaulting a child. But you know what? I'm not even really expecting that. What I do expect is for the men in that community to go and beat that, you know what, out of that man that choked that child. I'm not waiting on the city to step up, because I know that some of the state representatives here in Texas and representatives of Fort Worth, they've come up and they've spoken about their feelings on the video, what they've seen. The police chief said that he can't say that it's racism. He can say that the cop was rude and all of this, but he can't say, and this is a black police chief. He refuses to say that racism was involved when clearly, if you watch this video, you can see that the police officer came and had no intentions on arresting this man for assaulting a child. Instead, he pulls out a taser and assaults the mother and the child. Thank goodness this was caught on video camera. But even if it was not, slammed her on the ground and handcuffed her and arrested her. Now she's got to go through legal charges, which her lawyer is, of course, requesting that the charges are dropped. She should not have had to spend a night in jail, period.
At all.
Period.
That's dramatic.
So, what I would have liked to have seen, and I love to hear from any of you, what I would have liked to have seen is the mother said, oh, the man down the street choked you? Okay, let me go get Pookie and Ray Ray and them, and we're going to go handle this. And Pookie and Ray Ray and them go and handle that man. No, we don't need to call no cops. No, we got this, because that man should be just getting out the hospital today. That cop should still be in the hospital. And I'm not advocating any violence. Maybe I am. But the thing about it is, we have got to stop allowing people to attack us. They have attacked every single faction of our group. The elderly, the men, the women, and the children. How much does it take? So it's not just the men that are being assaulted. They are assaulting our children. Remember, we saw the little girl being assaulted by the cop in the school, the girl at the pool party, all of this nonsense. So it's time for people to step up. Let's take a break and we'll be right back with your comments.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All righty, we're back here at the Lotus Place, and we're talking about the recent incident with the police officer, the cop slave catcher in Fort Worth, Texas, who slammed the mother on the ground and arrested her and her daughter after she called the cops for assistance after her neighbor choked her child. I think that the neighbor should be arrested. Does anyone have any thoughts?
I definitely do.
Okay.
It is becoming more and more obvious to many that calling the police does not work for Africans like it does for other groups. It's like black politicians getting caught being corrupt. You're not going to get the same treatment as your white counterpart. I don't care how long they've been doing it, how short a time you've been doing it, how much money they stole. You're not going to get the same treatment. It's just not going to happen. And it doesn't matter how many, quote-unquote, good cops there are. We keep hearing that. But it's some good cops out there. It doesn't matter. It's the system. It's the system. It's oppressive for Africans in this country and elsewhere, too. You never hear anybody say, but it's some good black people out there when these tragedies occur. The victim always has some kind of flaw. You know, well, he was trying to steal some cigarillos or he has a record or he this or he that that's supposed to disqualify them, him or her, from receiving humane treatment or equal justice. In my experience, childhood experience, anytime we call the police, the situation always escalated. Always. We were just not in the habit of calling the police for situation. Only, and as I grew up, I only called the police if I wanted to write a report, an accident report. Somebody stole my car. Somebody broke in my house. But so far as preventing the crime, No. Mm-mm. They don't do that.
So you're of the opinion that we should not call the police.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so
I agree with that.
What do
I
you
agree.
Say, Isaiah? So you agree that we should not call the cops?
I agree because as soon as you call them, it almost. I haven't had any like personal experiences with them, but when I look at people and when they get into issues. Like, I'm trying to be proactive. I don't want to get into anything with them. The times that I have called them, and it's been, you know, like years ago, because I haven't needed to. But let me tell you, I really avoid doing that like the plague now. My decision has been to, pray, and I just don't want to ever have to call them. I really don't, because it's just so far-fetched now what could possibly happen. And I'm just, you know, we really don't have that. They arrive with their guns cocked, you know, no matter what the situation. If it's coming to a black community, it appears that they arrive with their guns cocked.
Well, yeah, they do. That was the other thing. In my neighborhood, it's a little bit different, but probably me, I got a different little deal going with them, but they don't really do that there, but if it's in the other community, they are just ridiculous.
I'm talking about the black community.
Because they come into our communities as an occupying force. So,
right.
It's like cops are not in our community to, quote unquote, protect and serve.
Serve and protect. They are there to occupy and to terrorize.
Occupy.
Really, it almost seems like now.
Yes, definitely.
That's what the whole deal is.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been given carte blanche to do that, it seems. And it's really sad because it doesn't have to be that way. And you don't, probably most of them are decent people, individuals. I believe that in my head, but I'm still like, I'm afraid to call them.
I am too, and I will not call them.
I don't know what could possibly make me call them. I'm sorry.
Because you don't know what will happen. So we've said this before, if you have a person that has a mental issue, if there's something going on, think twice, people, before you call the cops. I know that so many of us are still under the illusion that we're actually free here in terms of what's really supposed to be freedom. There's two sets of laws, and we are just not treated in the same manner. And so that's why for so long, white people were in denial about what we were experiencing, or not even just white people, affluent people, people that don't live, that live in neighborhoods whereas the police are not there as an occupying force.
Right.
People, they were in denial or didn't understand what we were talking about when we were explaining our experiences with cops, because they don't have that experience. They call a cop, oh, my cat is in a tree. The cops come and help get your cat out the tree. But if a black person calls, oh, my cat is in the tree. Oh, you stole that cat. I'm getting ready to take you down right now. Pow, pow, bang, bang. You know, so it's just a completely different experience with us.
Sad but true.
Yeah. It's sad but true. Yeah, well, you call a cop. Hey, my cat in the tree. And I ain't your cat. You stole that cat from blah, blah, blah. You know, it's just stupid stuff. Just like
get
this man.
Get out on the ground.
Well, why don't you teach your son how to not litter? What the hell they got to do with any goddamn? I don't care if he went and unloaded all the garbage in our house on the street. This man don't need to put his hands on.
Exactly. No way.
Well, this is the thing that I don't understand on those cases like that. I think child protection should have been called, number one, because you can't even do the other stuff you need to do with your own children.
Thank you.
Sometimes, but then you go, it's okay for a strange neighbor to, that's what I'm talking about, to choke them.
Yes.
Nobody deserves that kind of treatment. You want to talk about some abuse, but just like everything else,
that's abuse.
When something go down in somebody's home, they ready to call you, oh, you're an abuser, you're this, you're that. Yeah, they should have reported them to the child abuse people. Let them go on that one. Let them investigate it.
I was hoping that you would mention it, and I was going to bring that up if you didn't, because when you brought that up the other night when we were discussing this case, and I shared that with Feather Light today, I said, exactly, yeah, call Child Protective Services on this fool. You sat here and you assaulted a child. Oh, my God, are you crazy?
Start getting them involved in this. Let's see how much you love them children now.
Let's see how much
they
should have.
They should have called them on the one that shot that little boy and murdered him up there in Cleveland, Ohio. That's child protection.
Yep.
Use them. They ought to start using that one.
Exactly. That's a good point. That's a good point. We'll follow this story and. I think we should talk a little bit more about this because we just didn't have enough time. We need to move into our mind, body, and spirit and get ready to close out, because I have a lot I can say about this calling the police, because no, I'm just not for that. I'm just not for that. So, Feather Light.
Yeah.
You want to give us a mind, body, and spirit?
All right. So let's take a deep breath, because all of this that's happening around us, it could be extremely, extremely stressful and hard on our bodies. So let's take a little trip with me. Let's relax. Take a little trip with me for a few minutes. Trips with me are fun. We're going to use the right side of our brain, which is creativity. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to relax. I want you to relax your body, relax your shoulders. Drop your shoulders. I think they're up too high.
Okay. Oh, I know mine were. Oh, mine were very high.
Okay. Take a deep breath. Breathe deeply. In and out. Four counts in. One, two, three, four. Pause. One, two, and exhale for five counts. One, two, three, four, five. And we're going to do this again. Now, this time we're going to inhale four counts, pause at two, and I want you to exhale for six counts. Inhale. All the air out of the body. I want you to work your way up to at least seven counts on the exhale. If you can do more than seven, fine, but at least seven. So inhale again, four counts. Pause. Exhale. Hold it.
Detailing completely detoxifies your body. I won't give the particulars because we don't have time right now. But fruits are an antioxidant. We all know that. Fruit gets rid of about 10 to 15% of the toxins in your body. But when you exhale completely, like we just did, exhaling deeply gets rid of 95% of the toxins in your body. So think about that. You don't have to do it all the time because it's impossible and it's not logical, but just sometimes during the day when you want to do some deep breathing, exhale to at least 7 counts. Exhale as much of those toxins out of your body as possible until your stomach just goes flat. Okay? Now stay with me. Stay on this trip. Slowly return to your relaxed breathing. Just breathe relaxed. Make sure that your stomach is moving as you breathe. Now, first of all, if you want to understand or understand the universe, know that everything is energy. The chair you're sitting in, the sofa you're sitting on, the clothes on your back, trees, water, the huge galaxy, you, your conscious, and your non-conscious thoughts. Those are all energy. So keep that in mind. You are energy set in motion. Energy vibrates. The chair you're sitting in on a vibration is energy that has been imprinted on a chair. It's created a chair. Vibration creates a rhythm. You got energy, vibration, and then you have rhythm from that vibration. Everything has a rhythm, some higher vibration than others. Now, think of how a well-trained symphony sounds when every musician is playing their part in tune. Perfect harmony. How beautiful that sounds. Now, think of how this orchestra would sound if one person was out of tune, off key. Detect that something was a little off. Well, what about if two or three persons in this orchestra was off key? That would definitely affect the symphony, the total symphony. That is how the chakras in our body works. They work together when they're all in balance. Your body is pure energy. It vibrates and has a rhythm. This energy that's in our body forms clusters, small clusters in different parts of our body. And there are many clusters, but there are about 7 main clusters, major clusters, and they're called chakras. Now, according to Dr. Jewel Pookrum, who's a specialist in melanin, she says that Africans or Africans in America have more than 7 main chakras because of the intense amount of melanin in our body. But we're going to only speak about 7. So each one of these clusters or chakras, and chakras is a Sanskrit word. It means wheel in Sanskrit. So these are like wheels that are spinning in our body. Each one vibrates at a different frequency, just like the musician. They have their own instruments. These clusters have their own frequency, and they correspond to different aspects of our life. They govern how we live our life. They affect our health, our emotions, our relationships, our self-confidence, our self-empowerment, our spirituality, whether we feel safe or not, whether we can hold on to money. And when they're functioning properly and working together as a single unit, like an orchestra, they work fine. Everything is in tune. You're happy. Everything is going your way. But if just one of the clusters is out of balance, your entire energy system suffers. It puts you out of tune with you. So it's important that we become aware of when one of these wheels or chakras is not spinning
at its proper frequency. Something is not going right in your life. One or two may be blocked. One or two may be spinning too fast. They're gathering too much energy. Like if a person has an overactive throat chakra, they can't be quiet. They're constantly talking. They're constantly lying. They're constantly manipulative. That's too much energy going through that particular cluster. And it's throwing off another cluster. Just like in symphony, if one musician is not playing his tune properly, it's going to affect the whole sound of the orchestra. That's how our body works. And sometimes these clusters, one of them may be spinning too slowly. They're not getting enough energy. Like one may be blocked, like the throat chakra may be blocked. The person is having trouble expressing themselves. They're having trouble expressing how they really feel about a situation or how they feel about a person. Like you were speaking earlier, Black Rose, about being in a toxic relationship. They can't speak up for themselves to say, you know, I really don't like the way you treat me. I really don't like when you're constantly badgering me, embarrassing me in public. They can't find the gumption or the gall to say this. Their throat chakra is off. It's blocked, and it's affecting different other parts of the body, different other clusters. The person may begin to feel a lot of stress in their throat area, in their shoulders, in their neck. They're constantly having neck problems, and they don't know why. They haven't been in any kind of accident, but stress does cause physical problems. So these clusters all have to work together. And what we're going to do, what we're going to discover as we go on, based on what's happening in our lives, we're going to discover which one of these clusters needs strengthening and balancing. So we will attract the right people in our lives, the right opportunities for us. We'll have more abundance. We'll have better health. We'll have a higher consciousness, which is going to help us all the way around, and peace. And this will not only affect us individually, but it will affect everyone around us, including our enemy. It's how you feel about yourself. And it does affect your whole well-being. It affects your whole well-being. So, do you have any questions about that? Vibrations and the rhythm?
Well, one thing, I know I've been working on my sacral chakra because my back was hurting. I was having this terrible back pain for so long, years. And I've been working on my root chakra, and then all of a sudden it's like my back started back hurting when I drove home to Memphis back in July. So here it is, like December. And my back stopped hurting like a month ago. But my back stopped hurting because I said, maybe it's time for me to move from working on my root chakra to my sacral chakra. And so I started listening to these healing meditations online with the isochronic beats and the binaural beats. And I'm telling you, the day after, may have been 2 days, my back stopped hurting, and it has not hurt since. And so moving on up, I haven't gotten up to my throat chakra, but I'm still working on, like what you mentioned before, being able to speak your truth. And even though I'm very blunt, very frank, very candid, there's a lot that I do hold back. And so I like the fact that that's something that I know that I can work on through the throat chakra healing meditations and methods that you're helping us with.
Let me give you a couple of things that you can do. Go ahead. You had a question.
That's exactly what I was about to ask. What are some things that we can do to help heal these different areas.
For this particular area, the throat chakra, the throat chakra is associated not just with speaking, it's also related to hearing. So it's important that you listen. Sometimes people are so busy talking that they're not listening. And I've always said, how can you learn if your mouth is always open? You can't really learn anything if your mouth is always open and something's always coming out of your mouth. So it's not just speaking. It's the center of communication, and it's involving receiving and transmitting. So one thing you can do is sing. Singing is a cleanser. I didn't know that. But that's good, because I love to sing around the house. So sing.
I do too. I love to sing in the shower because I can't sing. So, and I did read that before, though, like sing, listen to one of your favorite songs and sing, and it will lift your spirit. I didn't know about the whole throat chakra and all that, but singing is supposed to lift your spirit. So sing around the house.
Right, right.
In your car. I have these concerts in my car. I have these like just random concerts in my car. Oh, Lord Jesus. I get the people in the grocery store a show, baby. Woo! I get to dance. Don't let them play some Sade or something in the grocery store, or some kind of song, a little instrumental. Man, I get to twirling down the aisle and people looking at me and they like, oh my God. But anyway, okay. Please, so yes, okay. I get to dancing and all kinds of stuff.
Okay, drinking water. That's the cleanser. Your hips don't lie. You were just speaking about your back. Now, occasionally, my hips will get sore for no reason whatsoever. I'll just wake up and my hips will be sore. An unhealthy throat chakra affects the rise of the kundalini, which is, you know, in your root. So your hips are another place where we store baggage. You see, realize that? We store baggage in our hips. So practice hip opener exercises. You can just type in hip opener exercise and you'll get a whole slew of them online. Think blue. Your throat chakra, it's blue. All of the chakras are different colors. They correspond with different colors and they move at different rates. But the throat chakra is blue. So think about blue light at the base of your throat. Inhale and think of blue cleansing, and exhale and release the stress and tension. That's another good breathing exercise. You can wear blue jewelry.
Oh, yes.
Blue energy. Okay. Get a massage. Your shoulders and your neck. You get the energy flowing properly. Sometimes the energy gets stuck. Just because you get it flowing doesn't mean you're just like, oh, okay, that's done. You have to monitor it. You know, because sometimes it slows back down or speeds back up too fast again. So, get a good massage and speak the truth with love. Sometimes there are people who just say what they have to say. They don't try to sugarcoat it. That's just who they are. But say it with love. You can say what you got to say, but say it with love. So let's speak your truth with love. If that's your truth, speak your truth. You know?
Speak it.
Yes. Vow of silence. This will be very difficult for some people who have an overactive throat chakra. Listening is often overlooked as a form of communication. That's a form of communication, to listen. So sometimes yogis take a vow of silence to purify their vibration of audible sounds and better tune in to subtle sounds, like being in communication with your higher consciousness. You can start with a few hours and then work up to a day. Record your voice, see how it sounds, see if it sounds like unsure or crackly or something like that. And then you can do head lifts. Lie on your back and just lift up your head and shoulders to look at your toes and hold this position until you feel the energy moving to your neck. So those are some good tips for getting your throat chakra in to balance.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
We've got 2 minutes left. We're going to do an ocean breath pranayama. Yes, P-R-A-N-A-Y-A-M-A. I have to spell it. So prana means your breath or your life force, and yama means control. So breathing has is very beneficial. It gets the right amount of oxygen to your organs. It gives you energy, and you just really feel better. So we're going to do ocean's breath real quickly. Do we have time? Because we're really supposed to end 5 minutes early. So we can
don't, since we already did like a little breathing segment, let's just count that as our breathing. And so thank you so much for sharing that. Appreciate that. We continue to work on opening up our throat chakra, and we want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. So what is today? Today is excuse me, it's a Kwanzaa day. I used to keep up so much with Kwanzaa. But I haven't gone to any Kwanzaa celebrations. But Emoja, look, I can't even say it anymore. Kujichagalia, Ujima, Ujama, Nia, Kumba, Imani. I don't even know what day we on today because I'm just completely out of it. I'm just taking time for me. I'm in my own little world. But happy Kwanzaa to everyone that celebrates Kwanzaa. And we want to thank you again. We will be back next week. Happy New Year, everyone. Happy New Year. And don't forget about the 7-day vegan challenge. Yes, we want you to join us on that. So peace. Good night and namaste.
Good night. Namaste.
Good night.